I'm not perfect by any means in this area. And I need help in it. And I hope from what I've studied and what I've prepared that it will be of benefit to you in your own life. I know we all struggle with this, as many of you have already confessed your sins to me about how much you struggle with this. I know that it's something that we all need, and I hope that we'll be better for studying from it. But go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. As tonight we're going to be focused on when we become digitally distracted. But before we focus on the digital part of our distractions, we're going to focus on just that word distractions in general. And in Luke chapter 10, we're going to read the story about Mary and Martha. As Luke chapter 10 comes to a close, we'll read verses 38 through 42. And it says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her.'" This is a great story. Simple. Four verses is all. But it teaches us so many things, but it also reminds us that distractions have always been a problem that followers of God have faced. And we see that Martha is distracted. The King James Version, you might be using that, it uses the word cumbered. The idea of one that is cumbered, one that is distracted, is that they are torn in different directions. That their mind is in another place, even though their body may be in another. And the result of Martha's distracted state, as Jesus points out, is that she is anxious and troubled as a result. And we think about our anxiety that we have today. Oftentimes that stems from us being so scatterbrained, us being so distracted in our lives. But what Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, it also points out to us, what it also reminds us in our lives today, that our distractions most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, our distractions aren't things that are sinful in and of themselves. That they're things of this life, that the tasks, the responsibilities that we have in front of us. Well, notice, what's Martha so distracted about? She's distracted with much serving. She's preparing a meal for the Lord. And you know what? Her no good rotten sister isn't helping her. And she's frustrated about that. And so she complains to the Lord, really, is what she's doing. And saying, you know, you need to fix my sister. And yet what she hears in return is not what she was expecting at all. Rather that her priorities are out of line because she is so distracted. And we relate to this story in many ways. But probably because we're just as easily distracted like Martha is. We have so many things in our life that distract us. It's more than just the phone calls. We're going to get there in a second. But it's the yard work that we still haven't finished. Cleaning up around the house. It's the bills that we need to pay. The emails, our jobs, the family. All these different things that they distract us. And they pull us in so many different directions. And no wonder why anxiety is so high in this country as a result. But a recent Nielsen study found that all of your distractions are costing you on average about 2 hours each day. That we are so distracted, we're losing the time that we have in front of us. But more importantly, I think many of us relate that we failed at serving God because we've been so distracted by non-sinful things. All these responsibilities, all these cares of the world that we have, and yet they pull us away from our Lord. We are a distracted people. But when we become so distracted that our devotion to the Lord is diminished, that our time to open up God's Word and read it, and we're going to talk a lot about that tomorrow. What happens when we're not taking the time to read His Word? What happens when we're not taking the time to grow in intimacy with the Lord and praying to Him with our families and our loved ones, to make time to come to services because of our jobs and our other distractions? That's where distractions become a huge problem, a huge stumbling block in our service to the Lord. And we need to remember simple but profound passages like Matthew chapter 6. In verse 33, where it reminds us that you need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. We need to make sure that we have our priorities in line. That we're putting the first things first. Many of you may know this individual. Some of you may know this individual. His name is Stephen Rouse. He's a gospel preacher up in the Pennsylvania area, and he's written a number of hymns. And one hymn that he wrote several years ago is called An Undistracted Mind. And the chorus or refrain of that song goes, Lord, make in me an undistracted mind. The first verse says, clear from my eyes the cares that leave me blind. Tear from my heart the thorns that choke my love. Help me to set my mind on things above. The second verse goes on to say, make it renewed, transformed to seek and find. Remind my soul when stressed by many things. One thing I need, the portion Jesus brings. That needs to be our mentality. That needs to be our mindset and how we overcome our distractions of this world that we need to be praying for. We need to be putting into the action that we have an undistracted mind. That we make sure that God is the top priority in all that we say, all that we do, all that we think. But it's more than just distractions. It's the fact that we're digitally distracted. I mean, have you ever stopped and realized just how technologically advanced we're becoming? We can pay using our watches. I learned that in a very handy way. I forgot my wallet a couple weeks ago, and I needed to fill up with gas, and I didn't have my card. I didn't want to go ask a stranger, but I had my Apple Watch on me, and so I was able to pay using my watch. What a time to be alive. We can download full-length textbooks in seconds. You don't even need wires for your headphones anymore. We have AirPods now. You don't need wires for your chargers. We're just becoming more and more efficient in so many areas. I don't even need a library full of books because I have thousands on my iPad. It's a blessing in so many ways, but we know that it comes at a cost, that there's consequences, there's repercussions to the pay. We talked last night, as we're going to be talking a lot about this week, about how our phones, how this technology can be an idol in our life, how it can be the God that not just is in our pocket, it's the God that's like a teddy bear that we hold in our arms as we fall asleep at night. And the problem that can certainly become. But I think, and I would argue, that one of the biggest vulnerabilities we face, in addition to our phone being an idol in our lives today, is that our phones are distracting us to death. That they're constantly around us and their presence is exhausting. They've infiltrated every aspect of our lives. You carry them in your pocket. You look at them when you're driving, even though you shouldn't. We ignore our work and our daily tasks to rather be on our phone. We can't eat a meal without our phones being on the table. And I don't want to get too personal, but I'm pretty sure all of us would admit that we're maybe guilty of even using our phones while we're using the restroom. Don't believe me? I'll say this, and this is free. I won't charge you for it. A study found that nearly one third of all cell phones have fecal matter on it. The proof is in the pudding. Our phones are just becoming a natural extension of our bodies. They're becoming so natural to who we are, but yet they're so distracting. It's all the messages. It's all the alerts. It's the notifications, the LED flash, the vibrations, all these different things. They constantly go off and they distract us. That we look at it and we're lured to our phones. We're lured to our screens. You don't believe me? Consider this for a second. There was a study that was done from young adults ages 18 to 24. And the study asked them, would you rather break your phone or break a bone? Yeah, you already know how this is going to end. 46% of young adults in that study said that they would rather break a bone. 46%. They would rather suffer physical harm than go without their phone, go without that screen in their life. And to make matters worse, you may think, well, that's just people of the world. Well, a number of you know, and I may have mentioned it before, I coach a college soccer team down at Florida College. I shared that with that soccer team. Almost all of them said they'd rather break a bone and that they have playing soccer, so they'd happily do it again. I asked a bunch of the college kids that worshipped with us at our congregation, and their response was just as terrifying. They said, well, that depends. What bone are we talking about? They said, you know, one kid, he said, is this like a pinky bone or like a clavicle? And this just shows goes to show how much of a problem we have, that we are struggling with something that is now a clinical mental health disorder of that of FOMO. I mentioned that over the phone to Brother Wayne, and he said, what on earth is FOMO? That's about how I reacted the same time I heard that word. FOMO is an acronym that stands for the fear of missing out. And it is defined as a deep compulsive concern that one is missing out on an opportunity or a satisfying event. And that is what is really propelling why we can't put our phones down, why we're so distracted, why we can't go a day without them, because people need me. And if I'm not near my phone and I'm not able to check on it, well, I'm going to miss out on something. And some of the young kids, you might have to explain this to your parents later if they don't know what this is. You know, Snapchat, the snap streaks that go along with that, that you have like, what is it, 24 hours, right, to respond and send another snap to keep that streak alive with the person. There's a study with a kid that had over 100 streaks with different people, different friends. And every night he was stressed before he went to bed to make sure that he was keeping the streak alive with all those different friends. Because he's experiencing exactly what we're talking about, that of FOMO. And the result is that our phone's always out. It's always on. It's always next to us. It distracts us from our jobs, from our family, from our friends. But I think most importantly, our phone, it distracts us from the Lord. It distracts us from thoughts of eternity because we're so focused on the here and the now. But let's face it, we are addicted to our phones. Apple says that you're going to unlock your phones about 80 times a day. We mentioned last night that on average, you're going to tap, swipe, or click on your screen 2,600 times a day. That each year we are checking our phone 81,500 times. That we have a recognizable addiction to our screens. That 50% of teens admit to feeling addicted to their phones. Something that I've talked to a lot of young adults about, and the number is probably close to that of 100%. That they all admit, yeah, I could probably cut back, and I won't name names of anybody here, but some of you made that same expression last night. 59% of the parents admit that they think that their teens, that their kids are addicted. But it's not just the young people, it's not just the young adults, it's those that are older as well. CNN did a study with Anderson Cooper. 60 Minutes, rather, did an experiment with Anderson Cooper where they tied him to a chair and they measured his resting heart rate and his pulse. And then what they did is they took his cell phone out and they set it on the table, put it on vibrate mode, and they had people call him and text him. And they watched as he could not answer his phone, as he couldn't swipe his phone, he couldn't touch it, how his heart rate, his pulse, everything was rising in his body. That he was going through the physiological symptoms of withdrawal, being away from his phone. He was experiencing what we call separation anxiety. And yet I wonder if how many of us were in that same situation. Would that be true of us? It's astounding when you look at men like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and the mind that they had for technology. And yet when it came to their family, when it came to their kids, that they restricted their kids' use at all. That Steve Jobs wouldn't even let his kids get an iPhone because they knew the danger. They knew why these devices were created, because they were created to be addictive. You know, these Apple watches and your phones, the vibrations, they are calculated in a way to stimulate your body in hopes that they will be, quote, irresistible. That you can't ignore it, that you have to swipe, that you have to respond to that notification. And scientists have backed this up as the idea of why our phones are so addictive, why they're so distracting. Because when those notifications go off, what they're finding in more and more people, not just young, but also the old, is that chemicals are now being released in the brain when people see a notification light up on their screen. That their mood is tied to if they're getting texts, if they're getting, you know, social media requests from other people. It's releasing the chemical dopamine. Some of you science people, psychology majors, you may know what that word is. That it's a chemical that's released when you're doing something that's pleasurable. Some other things that trigger dopamine are hardcore drugs, nicotine, sex, caffeine. But now we add to that list our phones, notifications. And what a frightening thought that is, that the same chemical in all of those areas is also released from our phones. And so let's just find out if you have a problem, can we? We're going to take a little quiz. This will be fun. It's 15 questions, and I was going to make handouts, but I don't like doing handouts because the second I pass them out, everybody's looking at them the rest of the time. So I'm just going to read these. It's 15 questions. They're all yes or no. I want you to keep track of how many questions you answer yes to. If you want to write it down, don't pull out your phone to do this unless you're on your Bible app. Keep track of it. I already did this with Mr. Wayne today. I won't tell you what he got. Some of you will probably be able to guess by the end. First question is, do you find yourself spending more time on your cell phone or smartphone than you realize? Spending more time on your smartphone than you realize. Second question is, do you find yourself mindlessly passing time on a regular basis or staring at your cell phone? Third question is, do you seem to lose track of time when you are on your smartphone? Fourth, do you find yourself spending more time texting, tweeting, or emailing as opposed to talking to people in person? Five, has the amount of time you spend on your smartphone been increasing? Six, do you wish you could be a little less involved with your smartphone? Seven, do you sleep with your cell phone under your pillow or next to your bed? Eight, do you find yourself viewing and answering texts and emails all hours of the day and night, even when that means interrupting other tasks you are doing? Number nine, do you text, email, or tweet while driving or doing similar activities that require your focused attention? Number 10, do you feel your use of a smartphone decreasing your productivity at times? Number 11, do you feel reluctant to be without your smartphone even for a short period of time? 12, do you feel at ease or uncomfortable when you accidentally leave your smartphone in the car or at home? 13, when you eat meals, is your smartphone always part of the table place setting? 14, when your smartphone rings or beeps or buzzes, do you feel an intense urge to check for whatever notification it was? And lastly, 15, do you find yourself mindlessly checking your smartphone many times a day, even when you know that there is nothing new to check? I know that there are some of you that you've already been talking with me and you said, I don't really struggle with my smartphone that much. But I bet there's probably some people, if they're being honest, they're being genuine with themselves, after answering that quiz, are going to, well, be scared with what that quiz is in association with. That quiz is actually taken word for word from the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction. And based on how many questions you answered yes to, this is what they suggest doing. If you answered yes to 1 to 2 questions or 0 to 2 questions, they say your behavior is normal. Nothing to worry about. If you're in the 3 to 4 range, they say your behavior is leaning toward problematic or compulsive use. If you're getting above the 5 threshold, they say that it is likely you do have a problematic or compulsive smartphone pattern. If you're above 8, it says consider seeing a psychologist who specializes in behavior addictions for consultation. And it does say in bold writing on the quiz online, please know that no medical diagnosis can be made by a written test. So don't go calling up the psychologist quite yet. But I will share this as some type of baseline in case some of you are wondering, what's normal? Are there people even around me right now that were answering above 8? Well, I think by the laughs, the answer might be yes. I asked this quiz. I had a number of my players take this quiz, about 30. I think about 28 out of 30 of them were 8 or more. I had a bunch of the college students and young adults that worship at our congregation down in Florida take this same quiz. I think all but one was in the 8-plus range. Two of the young adults that were in that class are also full-time teachers. They had their students in the public high school down in Hillsborough County in Florida take this test. About 150 for each of them. They said almost all of them were 8 or above. And I think that's pretty good baseline for us to go off of. Pretty good thing for us to help us see how much of a problem that this is, that we're going to our phones again and again and again, that yes, we're addicted to our phones, we're distracted by our phones, but the main question we need to be asking ourselves is, where is God in all of this? Where are we making time for Bible study? Where are we making time for prayer, to grow in intimacy, to study with our families, to study with our loved ones? Have we forgotten a verse that we spent a lot of time in yesterday? Matthew 22, 36 through 38, where it says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." Douglas Gruthius went on to add to that verse in relating it to our cell phones. He said, "It's going to be difficult to serve God with our whole heart, our whole soul, and whole strength when we are diverted and distracted and multitasking everything." And he goes on in his book to say that we have a spiritual condition to that of spiritual ADD. I think he's exactly right. That when we look how Jesus summarizes the law and how our devotion to God ought to be, that our life's distractions, they serve as a huge stumbling block. They serve as an obstacle that we're going to have to work around if we're going to be found pleasing in the eyes of our God. And brethren, this is the challenge that we face. That God demands our all. He never has and never will accept anything less. And yet in our hands, we have something that has the capability of being a God that we hold so close and so dear that distracts us and pulls us away from God each day. But please understand, I'm not up here to bash technology. I want you to, some of you think that I'm bringing my wrath down upon you. That's not it at all. But if our phones are keeping us away from the Lord, that's what we're here to talk about. That's why this is such a problem. But as we mentioned yesterday, I'm not here to bash cell phones, to bash technology, because at the end of the day, that's not the problem. Your phone's not the problem. The iPad, the computers, the video games, whatever it is that's distracting you from the Lord, that's not really the problem. The problem's you. That these are inanimate objects, unable of controlling themselves. You're the one that's in control. And so are you allowing it to control you? Hebrews 12 gives us a great insight of what we should be doing to get control in our lives, to make sure that we are in control of our lives. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice how verse 1 starts out. We'll tie in what the kids are talking about downstairs with faith is the victory, where it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Notice what it's talking about. Who are these witnesses that we're surrounded by? He's referring to chapter 11 and all those great heroes of faith. And now he's pointing us to the ultimate witness, the ultimate example of faith. And that's Jesus. And it continues saying, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." I ran cross country my entire life and even through college, and I'm sure Tad could vouch for this as well. It's no fun at all going running when you have extra weight tied to you. In fact, it's about one of the worst things that you can do. It feels miserable just lugging around a bunch of extra weight. But spiritually, if you're running this spiritual race with baggage and sin and worldly cares that are clinging to you, distractions that are getting in the way, Hebrews 12 gives us a little bit of insight about what we can do to that. Where it says, "Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." That if we're too distracted with our loved ones, by our phones, that we can't communicate with our loved ones, or even our ability to worship God, that our ability to have an intimate relationship with God, that's going to suffer. But that means it's time for us to rethink our habits, to rethink our lifestyle and our choices. So I'm not saying to ditch your phone. Don't do that. Don't throw it out the window. Don't get rid of your smartphone and go to the dumb phone. That's not what I'm saying. But it may mean that we do need to take some serious changes. Consider making some changes, because the New Testament, as it warns us against distractions, because we see that distractions, that they blind the soul from God. You remember the parable of the sower, that there's four types of sower, soil that the sower sows the seed on. You have the wayside, that the birds, that they come and they take away the seed right away. You have the rocky soil, that the seed, it actually takes root, but there's no depth, and so it doesn't last, and it just goes right away. And then you have the thorny soil, that it took root and it lasted, but those cares of the world, they were able to just pull the seed right out, choked it out. And then you have the good soil that produced, and it bore more fruit. But when we are distracted today, which soil do we most represent? Which is most characteristic of us in our lives? We become just like the thorny soil. That we allow the cares of the world to just choke God and His Word, and the love that we should have for His Word, it chokes it right out. As Matthew 13:22 says, "As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the Word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word, and it proves unfruitful." That I don't care what type of form our distractions may come to us in. It may not even be your phone. It may be something else. But this passage reminds us that it's a serious warning we need to be on guard against in our lives. That our distractions, they blind our soul from God. And to quote the wisdom of a mother who had two smartphone-addicted teens in a book that she wrote, she said, "If we fail to manage life's distractions wisely, we may forget how to walk with the Lord." But another warning that we read about and that we need to be on guard against is that distractions close off communion with God. A passage that I think proves this point perfectly is what we opened with in Luke chapter 10, the story of Mary and Martha. That she was distracted with much serving, and because of her distractions, what was the cost? What was the consequence of that? That she missed out at an opportunity, at a chance to sit at the feet of her Lord. But who are we more like? Said we relate a lot to that story in Luke chapter 10. Are we more like Martha? Are we more like Mary? When's the last time in your life that you made time to pray? I mean, you really made time to pray. Not that you remembered to pray before you started eating. I mean that you carved out a 30-minute block of your life, of your schedule, for prayer to God. Or are we too distracted for even that? We read about the greatest example of someone that was constantly busy. Someone that was constantly distracted, and that's our Lord. I mean, think about it for a second. Who was busier than Jesus? He came to seek and to save the lost. He was a pretty busy guy. But yet we read like passages in Mark 1 and verse 35 where it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." That he was so busy. You read the gospel accounts, especially Mark, as it emphasizes the word immediately more than any other gospel. You get out of breath just reading it, seeing all the places that Jesus has been and all the different things that he's doing. And yet, guess what? He allowed all those different things that he was tending to in this life to not distract him. That he made time for devotion with the Lord. So much so as Mark 1, as you get into verse 36, that the disciples, they come rushing to him, saying, "Where have you been? We got work to do." But he had his priorities in mind, and he made time to have communion with God. But another distraction we need to take seriously is that distractions, they mute the urgency of God. And what do I mean by the urgency of God? Well, there's a number of ways I could take this, and so to make sure we're all on the same page, go to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. This is a passage that I'm going to do to show what I think is a very urgent matter that God wants us to appreciate and for us to understand. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." This is the urgency that we read about in the New Testament. That Christ and his return, it's imminent. And we don't exactly know when he's coming back. We can't know that. But we know that it is imminent and that he's going to come back, and that we need to always be ready, that we always need to be on guard. And so we're urgently prompted to action and to never push God for tomorrow and to push it to a later day, because we don't know if we're guaranteed tomorrow. And all these distractions, our phones, our iPads, our computers, our TV, they have a way of just muting that urgency, where we're able to push that urgency to the back of our mind to forget that death is really an issue. To forget that our lives are going to come to an end, because we have so many things going on, we can't really afford to think about death. We're too busy. You know, just 2 weeks ago, Haley and I had to fly to Nebraska because my grandfather suddenly passed away. He had congestive heart failure, and so we knew that it was going to happen, but we just didn't know exactly when. And it was really hard to just get up and leave in the middle of the week, but for family, of course, we never questioned it. But as we were on that plane, we were talking, and Haley left behind some big projects at her job at work, probably the most inconvenient time that she could have left in the entire year. I was trying to finish my recruiting roster and getting the guys finalized and all the paperwork process. I was trying to finish up these lessons and the PowerPoints and get it all looking pretty. And we had all this stuff going away, but at the end of the day, it was such a great trip. Because as we were just sitting there on the couch and spending time with our family, we put our phones away. We closed the computer screens and we just talked. And it made us fully aware of the urgency of God, because it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Because the living will lay it to heart. Because we realize that, hey, our time's coming. That our bodies, they aren't meant to live forever. That this earth isn't all that there is. There's a life that's going to come. And if we're not careful, we can allow these distractions to cause us to be so focused on the here and now that we forget about the thoughts of eternity. That we forget that our time on this life is so short. We need to be ever mindful of that. And so as we close this evening, I want to present some few ideas, some things that have helped me on how we can eliminate these distractions. Again, I'm not perfect by any means. I would be just as guilty to show you my phone usage and looking at all the different areas that I can improve on. But I have been implementing some of the things we're going to go over, and I will say that I've got hours of my life back, hours each week. By implementing some of these things, they aren't easy. You may look at some of them and say, yeah, right, I'm never doing that. Well, give it a try and you might find yourself with some more time and less of a distraction problem on hand. The first one, I think probably the most important one of all on this list, is you need to turn off all your non-essential notifications. All those apps, if you are just, you know, when you download an app, it will most of the time come asking two questions. It wants to know location settings. Can it be using your location even when you're not using the app? If you want to burn through data, that's fine. Press yes. If you want to, the second question is going to be something about push notifications. Do you want to receive push notifications? Press no. And if you don't know what on earth I'm talking about, you're probably good to go. Don't worry about it. But all those push notifications on all these games, they remind you. They urge you to say, hey, you know, You need to go play this game. You've been away for 15 minutes. Come check on how whatever game you're playing is doing. You need to come back to it. If we're getting all those notifications for every app and for all those different things that we have on our phones, your phone is always going to be going off. And so a great way to not be so distracted by your phone is to, hey, mute it. Turn it off. Get rid of all those non-essential notifications. And this one is a point that's going to require some sacrifice, is deleting those time-wasting apps. And what I'm talking about is that of social media, that of games. And for some of you, you're saying, delete my social media? Are you kidding me? I was there. I was there 2 years ago. I had Instagram. I had Snapchat. I had Twitter. I had Facebook. I had all of it. And I realized that, hey, enough is enough. I don't need Facebook to go to heaven. I don't need Twitter to go to heaven. And so I deleted them. And I'll admit it, the first week I had FOMO. I was afraid about what people were posting. What if somebody added me as a friend and I wasn't able to respond to it? I'm hurting their feelings. I need to re-download it and just check for a moment. It hurts at first. But trust me, the freedom feels way better. Not being glued to the screen, not being on it all the time. So delete them. Get rid of those apps. Clear some space on your phone. Another helpful thing is keeping your phone out of your room. And may I say, especially before bed. Especially before bed. One of the worst things that we can be doing for our general health, but also our spiritual health, is right before bed, just scrolling down mindless feeds, just putting all of that garbage in our brain. Not that it's sinful, but at the same time, it's not really uplifting, is it, anyway? And I'm going to talk more about this on Wednesday night. Parents, well, we're going to talk about this a lot on Wednesday, actually. That if you're letting your kids go to bed with their phone in their hands, and you're not checking things, and you're giving them unrestricted access, there are a lot of pitfalls. There are a lot of dangers in doing that. And we're going to deal with that a little bit more specifically again on Wednesday night. And that goes beyond just that of distractions. But we need to guard our morning disciplines and our evening sleep patterns. More addressing the beginning of our day. I said that some of the stats, I don't remember the exact numbers from last night, that, you know, X amount of people are saying that the first thing they're doing in the morning is on their phone. Before they shower, before they use the restroom, before they even brush their teeth, they're on their phone. And that's why we start the day so distracted and so rushed, because we have, well, I have 4 notifications. Now I need to respond to all those. And that's how the day starts. And so maybe we need to do a better job about guarding our morning discipline. You know, use some self-restricting apps. You know, your phones have a great way of tracking all the apps that you're using. Maybe you're afraid to turn that on. I would walk you through it, but I don't want you to take your phone out now. If you're curious about this, come talk to me afterwards. I'll show you how. I showed the Moody's how to do it. You go to the settings and you go to screen time. And there is a feature in your app, in your phones, Android and Apple, that allows you to track what you are doing on your phone at all times. How long to the minute that you are on different types of apps on your phone. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but would you like me to take your phone and read that out loud? You know, go through it and say, all right, let's see what Dick Modine has been up to this week. It probably wouldn't be the best example to use. 2 minutes? Is that it? But if you don't have that turned on, I'd encourage you to do that. I think it might be eye-opening to you when you see that maybe you spent 11 hours this past week on social media, well below the national average, might I add, or that you were spending 25 hours on your email for work. It's eye-opening when you see just how many hours you are spending and pumping into that screen. But something that's really helped me is recognizing that what we're responding to, that it can wait. I don't know when it began. Maybe it's all the buzzing and the beeping on our phones that we have this just compulsive need to respond right away. You know, the phone goes off and, well, I have to respond right away. I do that a lot because if I don't, I just forget. And then so that's a big part of why I just try and get it out of the way. But, you know, this will wear you down. If every time your phone's going off, every time you're getting these notifications, you're just having that compulsive need that I got to do this right now. I think it's the AT&T billboards and ads around the country for texting and driving that say it can wait. It's so true that it doesn't need to happen right now. And a great, where I actually got this point was from, was a young preacher and his family. That he implemented it with his family that every time when they walked in the door, everybody put their phones in a basket right by the front door. And he said at first it was kind of tough. You know, they'd have them on loud and they'd be like, just going to check that real fast. And he said, no, leave it there. It can wait. And people were asking him, they said, well, how does that work? You know, what if people are calling you and they need to get a hold of you? And he said, well, I call them back in the morning. I call them back when I get my phone. But that was pretty eye-opening for me to think about. That maybe that's something I need to be doing in my life. That it can wait. That I don't need to be so urgently around my phone all the time. But yet, hear me out, there needs to be balance with this. I'm not saying that Andy Modine needs to power off his phone and put it in a drawer. Because what's happening? Well, his wife could go into labor at any time. And so that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that when we're not really expecting anything, maybe it's better to just put it away for a while. Invite feedback from those closest to you. I mentioned this last night. If you're curious, if you have a problem, ask those that really know you. And you'll probably realize right away if you have a problem or not. We're going to deal with this one a little bit more. I forget which night. Probably all of them. Talking about our phones at worship. I have no problem if you're using your phone for a Bible app. Go for it. That's great. That's what I'm doing right here. It works out really well. But if your phone is distracting you and it's depriving you of worship to God, your phone, understand, is being the literal definition of what an idol is. It's distracting from praise and glory and devotion to God because you're checking email real fast. You're checking social media. You're checking a text. And so if that's too big of a temptation, do what Dick Modine has done every night that he's seen me this week. Every time he's seen me, he said, "I left my phone at home." It's a great thing. Maybe you can't do that. Maybe you need to have it a little bit closer. Put it on airplane mode. Don't be receiving those notifications. Or maybe lastly, try digital detoxing. Similar to that of fasting, but do it with your phone. Go increments without it. And watch you become less distracted, less addicted to your phones. We can't let our habits, especially as they relate to our digital lives, distract us from God and His Word. But if that's the case, we need to be taking a deep look inside ourselves and be willing to eliminate whatever is distracting us from our God. May God help us to truly set our minds on things above. If you're not a child of God, you need to understand that you have a sin problem, that your sins stain you in the sight of God, and you need to be cleansed. You need to be purified if you wish to ever dwell in heaven with a holy and pure God. But thankfully, our sin problem is that there's a solution to it, and that solution is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you've been reading the Word of God, you've been studying, and you've come to believe in who Jesus is, and you have faith, and you realize that your faith demands action, you're ready to turn and repent of the sins in your life and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, we'd be more than happy to assist you with that tonight. If you're subject to Evan's invitation in any way, we invite you to come to the front as we stand and sing the song selected.